Let's put up on the screen Acts chapter 12, at verse 1. Amen. I'd like to start with the comments that I made at the close of last Friday. And that is that news is business. News is not necessarily true. It's news. I believe it was John that said, "Thy word is truth." If we want truth, of course, then we go to the absolute truth, which is the Word of God. And so we appreciate the historical events in the Word of God that reveal Christ to us and his attitude towards things, how he deals with mankind over various issues, and of course the future. The future of the church, the body of Christ, the future of mankind, as it relates to not just the kingdom of God, but world events. Okay? And so we are bombarded and blasted with media today. I never forget the day I drove up to get gas at North Bend. I was coming over the pass. Pulled up to a gas tank and I pulled the nozzle to put it in my car, and I heard noise and I looked over and the gas pump was giving me the news, the 5 o'clock news. And I thought, they won't stop at anything, will they? They're going to put this media just about everywhere we are. And I thought, here I am at a gas pump in North Bend, Washington, and I'm watching the news. And so, as you know, just about any lobby, anywhere, hotel lobbies, any lobby, business lobbies, oftentimes now has a screen. And they are broadcasting, oftentimes, news. You go to the airport and they got airport news. And, of course, it's at every gate. I remember when those screens first showed up and we thought, wow, look at that, you know. Well, We are bombarded with communication, and oftentimes under the guise of news, and news reported as though they are the facts, right? And news is not always true. Sometimes news is just not even true at all. But I may have commented this as well. When I was growing up in grade school, second, third, fourth grade, there was a word that I was taught, and the word was propaganda. But when they taught the word, they said that in China, they feed propaganda to their people. And then they said, and in Russia, they feed propaganda to their people. In other words, they want them to believe a certain way, and so they feed them this line. And, of course, it was presented as though none of it was true. It's just all propaganda. And, of course, that was contrasted with the idea that here we are in America, and we have integrity, and everything we say is true. And you can count on everything and everybody, and especially relative to our government. And so as a young person, you know, you grew up with these ideals that all the other nations are somewhat corrupted. And here we are in the United States of America, where everything is red, white, and blue. And true. But I've stuck around a while. And time's passed. And now it almost seems like, in some scenarios, the tables have turned. You know, I had such a preconceived notion when I went to China. You know, red China. Ruthless. Kill the people. And I never forgot getting off the plane and going into what was like a international customs area. And I was expecting, you know, this weighty, you know, here I have come into Red China in Beijing. And I thought, man, it feels more liberating right here than it does in Miami. And so as I traveled around, immediately I begin to think, man, I was fed a line. When I was a kid, they were feeding me a line. They were saying all these things about, you know, all these places. And so anyhow, here we are, 2016, and we are bantered by media. And, you know, I used to get up and enjoy getting on Google News, which picks up different news postings from many sources, and they say that nobody does that, you know, with their finger and a mouse, but it's all done with algorithms, and it's just selected by traffic and things like this. But anyhow, I used to get up and kind of enjoy skipping down through the topics, you know, and selectively, if I saw an article I wanted to read, I'd take a look and maybe read. You know, in the last 6 months, maybe the last year, if I turn onto that page, it's like every news statement, in other words, the caption over the statement, never mind the article, just all felt like propaganda to me. A comment to persuade me. It wasn't a report. It wasn't just somebody sharing the facts of an event. But everything seemed to be loaded and trying to push me in a direction or entice me to click to read so that they could propagandize me. I find it frustrating. Anybody else? Now, I don't have a television. I don't have a news channel. And I can't even imagine what that would be like. Of the constant barrage and the constant barrage and the constant barrage. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But I know that the world around me, people that I come into contact with daily, are exposed with that all the time. All the time. Now, last week, these scriptures came to me, and then the idea, the thought, obviously, that Isaiah 9 and 6, anybody quote it? Raise your hand, please. Sister Schoonover, go ahead. The mighty God, everlasting, Father, Prince of Peace. That's okay. Brother Flowers will help you. He's right behind you. Oh, that was six? Well, I was only leading up to seven anyway. We were just getting that out of the way. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, that gives you hope, doesn't it? We're in the midst of these issues with this election and, you know, all of the things that are reported and you know, the mindset of people are, you know, heads are spinning and say, where's this all going and how's this going to affect us? And it is spinning and it's going and there are effects, okay? Let's go to Acts 12 and 1. I want to read. In consideration of all those things. Now about that time, Herod the king, a governing official, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. He delivered him to four soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think anybody prayed for James? Of course they did. Because if we read Acts chapter 4, we find they went from house to house, breaking bread and with prayers. They had prayer meetings. The move of God was in operation. The kingdom of God was being advanced and established in the earth. And then here we have this moment in history when a governing official begins to, take direction against certain of the church. He kills one of the apostles, cuts his head off. Then he goes after another apostle. He has him arrested. He puts him in prison. And he's waiting till right after Easter, and he intends to take his head off. Verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, God's rarely early, he's always on time. The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off of his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, follow me." He went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Had it been the purpose and the plan of God, James would not have lost his life. James only lost his life because God allowed it. In his perfection, in his purpose, of course, if you remember that the mindset of the apostles was they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, they knew that any day there was a risk that something could happen, something that could come upon them. I mentioned China earlier. We went to a university. I was traveling with Brother Steve Willoughby, and we were planning to meet some group. I didn't know anything about it. They stuck us in a couple of cars. We went across Beijing, and there was about four or five of us meeting somebody, some kids, young people, I guess, at a university, students. Well, the guards hadn't left the university, and so we kept circling the campus, circling the campus, circling the campus. I was getting kind of nervous. What do you mean the guards haven't left yet? And so what's going to happen if we go and the guards aren't there? Well, finally we get the call after about an hour and a half. We go into this university. We go up into these rooms. And there's about 10 students at a big long table inside of a room. One of the students stood at the door and held it open so he could watch the hallway and watch the meeting. The students took their Bibles out and laid them on the table like they were swords. You know, I'm a little cautious at this point. I wasn't advertising. Matter of fact, they'd already warned us and cautioned us. You know, you got to take precautions and be careful about where you go and, you know. And I never forgot the feeling that these students gave to me. It was like they laid their Bible out. Bring him death before the night was out. And they didn't care. The hold upon their life had something to do with a faith that they had come in contact with, but they didn't love their lives unto death. Well, I'd never come into contact with that in the United States of America. And I was marked by it. These apostles were walking in a day and they had a faith in God. And no matter the circumstances, they just, of course, walked in his will. It was allowable that these governing officials could take the life of one of his. But yet Peter had supernatural intervention, the visitation of an angel in his prison cell, chains fell off, still groggy with what was going on. He's told to get his feet, to get his shoes on his feet. Come on, we're going. And the angel of the Lord leads him out. And the very things that they were threatened over, they would turn right and go right into the city and begin to communicate the gospel, preach the name of Jesus, just like when they was arrested. Okay, let's go to Revelations chapter 12 at verse 7. I think we touched on this scripture last week. Revelations 12 and 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The bantering of media and propaganda sometimes gets a hold of our mindset, and we become overly concerned about what can be exercised against us, even by our governing authorities. But when we go to the scripture, we realize that nothing will be exercised against the church or the body of Christ as believers outside of God's plan and purpose. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Pray with me, would you? Father, our trust is in you. Our confidence lies in you, Father. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are truly the Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Peace in our lives. In the name of Jesus, it's you that we look to. It's you that we rely on, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Book of Esther, chapter 3, at verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus, governing official, promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Here's a man that's been elevated by others in authority to a place above all the other princes. Okay? All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, a Jew, bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said to Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, he hearkened unto them, and they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, nor was Haman full of wrath, or then was Haman full of wrath. Are you familiar with this story in the book of Esther? Mordecai was Esther's uncle or cousin. Okay? Esther had been promoted in the kingdom. One of the most common statements referred to towards her was a statement Mordecai made to her, saying, you know, who knows, but what, you know, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But here Haman, as a Jew, is refusing to bow and give reverence to this man, Haman, because he was only to bow as a Jew to one who was his maker. And so in the process of him exercising his faith, there were those that saw him and observed the exercising of his faith, and they took issue with it, and Haman began to move towards taking him out. He didn't stop at the place of trying to take out this Jew. When he found out that he was a Jew, he said, I'm going to get a law passed. I'm going to go into the courtroom. I'm going to go and see the king. I'm going to get a law passed that says, we're going to destroy all these Jews. And it was passed. And so a governing official passed law to come against these believers, to execute them, to annihilate them, to take them out. And he even began to put in play that there were gallows being built in the square to do just exactly what he was going to do. Take out this believer, Mordecai. And God intervened. Caused somebody to have a restless night. The king can't sleep, can't sleep. Somebody bring me a book. Somebody come and read something to me. So they came and they read the Chronicles to him, and in it was a story about a man that actually heard some guys at the gate plotting to kill the king. And so the question is made by the king, well, what did we do for this guy? Who is he? What do we do for him? Long story short, God intervened, and Haman, the governing official who was going to try and take out a believer, was hung on the very gallows that he was preparing for this believer. God intervenes on behalf of believers. When you are walking in his purpose, when you are walking in his will, when you are a follower, a believer of Christ, I promise you, he sees it all. He watches over it all. And there's nothing going to befall you by any kind of party or governing official if he has anything to say.
And he has everything to say. Okay? Now,
there's a lot of uptight people right now with all the things that are being played out in the media and what's going to take place in 6 days and the voting in of a president of the United States, where we live, which he'll have bearing on us. But ultimately, there's nothing going to take place outside of his will, especially when it comes to a believer. We got to keep it in its proper context. Amen? Now, I'm casting my vote. You better believe it. I got direction, too. I'm not wishy-washy. I'm not swaying with the news. And I have felt that way for a long time. I hope you'll do the same. It's our right. It's our responsibility. But we look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Our primary focus is not on all that that's playing out there, but it's the daily of what takes between me and him. My peace comes from him. Amen? My peace comes from him. It's not whether it was a good report today or a bad report today. He's the author and he's the finisher of my faith. I'm going to look to him for my future. Amen? John chapter 19. I'm going to read one more. John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate, a governing official, took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him a purple robe upon him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Listen to this answer. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. There's no power exercised against us except it be given from above. Everything's got to pass through him. He truly is your Savior. He is your Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of all lords. He is the omnipotent power. Why don't you stand with me? Recently, the media points to others calling them fearmongers. And yet we know that is a role that the media itself plays. I heard a report the other day about the earthquake in Italy. And the earthquake had passed and there was destruction that had taken place. But the way the reporter finished the report cast more fear for what was coming next. And I thought, that is so typical, you guys. There's an event that's taken place. There are people, casualties, and sorrow in the land, and you're wanting to breathe out more fear on what could happen greater than what just happened. And that's the typical thing, and it plays out so oftentimes in the reporting. Fear has torment. Anybody ever feel tormented? Perfect love. Complete love. Perfected love. Accomplished love. Casts out all fear. One writer said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In our communion with our Savior, there is something that, if I can use the word, transmits from us. When I'm in fellowship with the King, when I am in fellowship with the Lord, and I am in communion with Him, there ought to be the love of God that sheds from us, that is related to others, that can affect and deliver people from the fears that are consuming them in our world. I've heard Elder Hart mention from time to time media fasts, and he's presented and promoted media fasts. Do you know what it's like if you would just take your phone and just not pick it up for 2 days? That's almost unheard of right now, right? You can't even imagine. What, 2 days? You know, 2 hours is like, are you kidding? 2 days. Do you know how much it affects you? Can you imagine what it would be like just to set that thing down for 2 days? That sounds like the impossible. You're looking at me like, are you kidding me? You're not going to ask that, right? No, I'm just wanting to leave you an impression. Because now the phone isn't just a phone. It's, you know, we get constant input. Constant input. We got this wrist habit. We got the finger habit. All day long. You get on a bus with, you know, 40 people, there's 38 phones. They're on the news, they're on Facebook, they're on, you know, everything, you know. Two days, 48 hours. I wonder. Just wondering. Could we pray? Father, we look to you. We look to you, Father. You're all we need, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Of the increase of your government and peace, there shall be no end. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're looking for a millennial reign when you'll rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kimaluria la matahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would it be fair to ask the question, has anybody felt just a little bit anxious? Okay. I'd like for us to pray. Especially for those who've been feeling a little extra anxious in these last couple of weeks. Would you mind stepping out here to the front? Everybody else in the room just got, they're full of peace. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? Elder Hart, do you have oil? We're buying you a little bit of time. You're just not sure you want to. Come on, peace. Peace that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus. Would you mind stepping just maybe two steps closer? Amen. Elder. Praise God. I'd like to ask. Now wait, I'm just going to give it another second here. If you'd like to avail yourself, come and receive prayer. We got more coming. Maybe we could slide down just a little bit right here. We're making room for you there, Sister Mary. Praise God. I'd like to call for some elders. Amen. Some believers. And we're going to pray. Brother and Sister Jester, would you please make yourself available? Come. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. A covering of peace that will prevail over your heart, your mind, your spirit. Amen. Eyes closed, hands raised. Come on, let's pray together. Make your way in here if you would, please. You elders, come on in here. If you want to come around to the front, that works better for you. Come on around. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ye mando no se leyeyai, kia la matahaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ikata no yolo romasi ala mataha. Ye mando no se leyeyai, kia la matahaya. Ye maluri ala masi kiatahana yeya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kamayolo romasi alamando yo. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Himayeya, si alamande lehi alamataha. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Haloria sikiata nayeai. Himayoloriande lehi alamatahaya. Hanayea noloria lama sikiataha.
Hallelujah. Come on, give yourself to prayer right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Mikatahana yeya. Yeloriasi kiatahaya. We pour out to you, Father. We pour out to you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hiandele hialamasi kiatahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.
If you find yourself lying awake in the wee hours of the morning, get out of bed. Find a place to just give yourself to some prayer. Pray the will of God be done. Let the kingdom of God be established in the earth. Let the kingdoms of men come down. Did you get that? Let the kingdom of God be established in the earth. Let the kingdoms of men come down. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. He gives us peace that surpasses understanding, doesn't he? Amen. The scripture says, perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee. Where is your mind stayed? Is it stayed on thee? Amen. Now, the enemy wants to steal your peace. I mean, that's his desire. But your peace comes from him. I was reminded of Sister Mary's testimony last Wednesday night. How many of you remember that? Remember she talked about the fear of taking her kids to school because of the whole clown goofiness? But she said, no, I'm not giving in to that. I'm taking my kids to school. And she got in her car when she left there. And some words came to her, I think through a song, she said, and reminded her of who the king was. Where her mind went determined peace. Amen? Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee. Sometimes we have to make ourselves stay our mind on him. Right? We have to make ourselves stay our mind on him. We know that our mind is washed by the Word. So I want to encourage you, be in the Word. If you're grabbing your phone, just have the Bible app. Just open that. Go to the Word. Amen? Get in the Word. Let the Word wash your mind. To give you peace. To give you peace. Amen. Praise God. Here's a scripture for you. Can you put Proverbs 21 and 1 on the screen? I hope that's the right one. I'm pretty sure that's the right one. Proverbs 21. You should. I try to read something out of the Proverbs every day. Just a thought. Look at what the scripture says. The king's heart is where? It's where? Whose heart's in the hand of the Lord? Just the good kings? No, the kings. And as the rivers of water, he's the Lord. What does he do? He turns it whithersoever he will. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he will. Now, I don't care who the next president is. Do you think who the next president is affects God's plan? I mean, do you really think that who the next president is going to change God's plan? No, I believe you should vote. It's not going to change. You understand? God's plan is established for his church. God is not coming back for the United States of America. Coming back for his church. Do you think the lost soul in the middle of Nigeria is concerned by who the next president is? Just trying to eat from day to day and get... No, God's concerned for them, though. So whoever it is, you're still the church. Amen? Praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Praise God. He's our king. Amen. I want to submit to his government. Amen. My hope is in his government. My confidence is in his government. My confidence is in my king. Yes? Amen. Let's thank the Lord together tonight. Lord, we exalt you. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we put our trust in you. Afresh and anew tonight, we affirm our trust in you, our King, our living King that abides in our heart when you filled us with your Spirit. We worship you, Jesus, and we trust you. We stand on your word. We hope in your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen. We'll see you Friday night, if not before. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.